Hallelujah. In him there is no failure. There's no God like our God. You can sit down. When I was meditating on what I would do when I got up, and I said it in my heart when I was in the office, I was going to solicit the church to pray for Pastor Parker because I miss him so much. God answers prayer. God loves you. To me, it was a miracle. And it's also confirmation how God loves us. And he's concerned about us in so many ways. You could be seated because I have been gone for 2 weeks. I went to Detroit to support my apostle, our apostle, and came back. I brought COVID back with me. And so I was out for another 2 weeks or whatever. And during that time, I had a lot of time to think about life, think about ministry, think about me. David said, I was glad when I was afflicted. So I was really glad, even though I hate being sick. But I was glad because it gave me a chance to meditate on where we have been, where the church has been, and what God is saying. Sometimes you have to be, all the time, we need to really take time to be quiet with God. It took a couple of days for me to fuss, but then after that, I really thought about how blessed we are despite the devil.
Yes, sir.
And if he wasn't a threat, he wouldn't bother with you. How about
that's
that?
That's right.
But I want to encourage everyone that whoever you are, just know who you are in God. Not who you are in people's expectations. Not who you are and what you want to be outside of God. But just know who you are in God. Whatever you go through, remember, you're blessed. God is good. IHI, we blessed despite the devil.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you for praising. We're blessed. We're blessed. Amen. It was good to see you all. I really appreciate all your prayers for the travels. I appreciate your prayers even through the illness. Thank you for praying for my son. Our pastor is just prayer work. But there's a difference between a give me prayer and a relation prayer. Give me prayer is what we usually do when we want something from God. It's totally different, but when you have a relationship with God, and his ear is attentive to your cry. That's a sweet place to be.
Yes, yes.
Say amen.
Amen.
And I'm so glad that he's good.
Hallelujah.
And merciful. Thank God for Minister Parker, Terry Parker.
Yes.
He's filling in. God's been using him. He's been growing greatly. Yeah, give God a praise. He's growing. He's growing. Samuel is growing. He preached Friday night at Pastor Barnes. And he let God use him because he came back to the church horse. I said, okay, I know you did a good job. Well, we thank God for all the laborers, all the elders, all the ministers. Amen. And we thank God for Sister Nikki and the committee. Sister Nikki had a successful toy drive. He was able to bless 9 families and a lot of children in the schools. I want to thank the Lord. The Lord blessed us that because of the nonprofit, we was able to accumulate toys. And I think it was a great move because it didn't stress the church. And God's not finished yet. Do I have a witness? His best is yet to come. So we thank God for her labor and those who we feed and the food bank and everybody in their own measure. I was kind of envious of another church who's, they was like, the line was all the way down. I'm like, well, what's wrong with us? What are we doing wrong? But then the Lord said, look at your situation. You got to let God, listen, this is important. You got to let God use you in your measure. I'm going to say it again. We have to let God use us in our measure. Our measure is not like the church down the street or around the corner. You got to let God use you in the measure that he has given you. So, so important. Amen. Thank God. And last but not least, if you want to, it would be great if we could. My sister, can the keys play then? Since, can I get a little something? So one of y'all do something for me. I'm almost done. Aretha Wilson is going to be at Sarita's, isn't that proper, right? Pastor Woods Church in Denver at 5 o'clock. And Josephine had the prayer room there. But it would really be nice if she saw some of In His Image to come out to support her. I'm telling you, if you never heard her preach or never been in her ministry outside of streaming, you would be tremendously blessed. She was here when she brought her church. We had a time. Such a great connection. And so we're going to go support her. And I just want to throw that out there in case someone would like to go. Amen. Services at 5 o'clock at Pastor Woods in Deptford. All right?
Amen.
God bless you. And we're going to go into the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 43. Thank you, son. I appreciate your help. Thank God for our musicians. Amen. Yeah. How long? You've been here over a year now. What, 2 years? It's your second Christmas, ain't it? 2 years, that's God for Brother Jeremiah. Come on, give God praise. Amen. His mom is here. Thank God for Sister Kiersey. And all our visitors, everybody's somebody in the house of God. Everybody is somebody in the house of God. You don't have to stand. Amen. I'm taking my time. I'm going to let the strength of the Lord be my help today. Isaiah chapter 43. Verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by name, and thou art mine. When I pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Neither thou walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom and Ethiopia and Sebia for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm not done, but I just want to say that because Dean always says put a pin in it. I put a pin in it because I could take that really personal for where I'm at right now.
Yes.
To be reminded that the Lord says you're precious in my sight.
Yes.
Because you've been honorable.
Yes.
And I love you. Therefore, I'll give men for thee and people for your life. In other words, God said, I got you.
Yes.
Verse 5, fear not. For I am with thee, and I'll bring thy seed from the east and gather from the west, and I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring your sons from far and your daughters from the ends of the earth, in the last verse, even everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. For the word of the Lord is blessed. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Father, we thank you for the word of God today. Lord, you know how much I need you this moment. Help me to be the conduit of your will into your people's ears, and that everyone's fruit would remain. Pray for the tongue of the learned, discernment of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. Save, heal, deliver, set free. Minister to your people. We surrender this moment for you, to you. Thank you for healing. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your grace. In Jesus' precious name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
We know we, as the minister had said, we got, the announcer had said, we got one more week or so before this year concludes. And we're blessed by being here this far because many didn't make it. Somebody has been to somebody's funeral today, this year. Many didn't make it. Don't take the fact that you're here for granted. Many didn't make it. But we know there's a time when we're celebrating Christmas and everybody has their own ideas and their views concerning Christmas. My title has been Scrooge, and I got it going on in Grinch, the Grinch. And yeah, but one thing about the Grinch, when you look at the cartoon, he had a heart that needed to be touched. You know, so I wear Grinch proudly. I wear it proudly. Praise God. Amen. But Christmas time, praise the Lord, is a time where the world, regardless of somebody's particular religion or idea of view, it brings attention to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Amen. The promised Messiah that would come to save people from their sins. And so it's definitely a time where we can remember that Christ came into the world to save the world. Matthew's gospel gives us a great revelation on that as a fulfillment of that promise and that prophecy. For the Bible says, "The sheep shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins." Yes. Amen. And another scripture says, "And whosoever call," hallelujah, "on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank God that one day I called on him.
Yes.
And it says, "Whosoever." Amen. All you have to do is want him in your life, and it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yes, yes, yes.
But as I begin to meditate on that, the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you today, also remember, as we hustle and bustle to shop and to decorate and to scurry around to participate in the celebration of the Messiah, or what Christmas means to you, he told me to tell you, use that same vigor, that same seek, that same drive to get ready for his second coming.
Yes, yes, yes. My God.
I need you to see that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Everywhere you go, there are images of Christmas. Many of you are saving money and shopping a particular gift, or you're looking for something to bless somebody, and some of you might even be grieved because you want to do more than what your economic system can provide. And all that means something to most of us at this time, but the Lord is saying, don't forget, because this season will be over, put that same zeal in getting your soul ready, getting your family ready, getting your life ready to meet Jesus Christ, because he's coming again.
Yes,
in the book of Acts chapter 1, the angel came and said, this same Jesus, oh glory to God, he's coming in like manner. Oh glory to God. So we excited that the Messiah has come, but I'm more excited that we getting ready, amen, to see the King. And the dead in Christ will rise first. But we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air.
Yes,
does somebody have a praise in their heart?
Yes,
He's coming again. Oh, yes, he is. Amen. So, amen. Keep your focus right. Don't be distracted. Wednesday I was talking about distractions, and this sermon today is picking up from the burden that I had in my heart about the condition of the church and us knowing who we are and where we're going. And so in Isaiah chapter 43 is showing us how important that God's people are in his divine plan. We understand that God shows us through the prophet Isaiah about the Messiah. He teaches us about the Messiah. And we understand that we can relate a lot of the scriptures to where we are. It's not, antiquated, that we cannot apply it and make it applicable to our present condition. The Bible says that the Old Testament is written for our learning. And so as we go through the gospel, not the gospel or the prophetic word of the Isaiah, we can see hope for God's people, and we can see hope for ourselves. But we cannot just look at the hope, but we have to look at the contents of what God is trying to say to his people and what God wants to convey to us for such a time as this. And keeping it all short and bringing it within the context. For up to chapter 42 through the prophet of Isaiah, he begins to share a lot of the things that they went through. But the condition of Israel was very dire prior to chapter 43 because of their rebellion. God had judged Israel, amen, because they were spiritually blind and they lived a life of rebellious. And Wednesday, I was trying to say, we assimilate the same mindset. When God has called a chosen people out of the world into his kingdom, but instead of us embracing his love, his credences, his statutes, his covenants, his commandments, we tend to be caught up. Amen. And distracted and spiritually blinded and unfortunately rebel against what God has for us, even though he wants the best for us. And because God is judge, God loves us. He is creator. We understand the scripture teaches us that God used them, and we can see something here. He judged them and punished them to get their attention, if you will. Amen. He allowed them to become captive through Babylonian captivity. Amen. 40 years. They went through captivity. They were brought into a strange land. They became slaves, and they were under the bondage of unbelievers. And so we can see that at the church at large, that many are going through situations and they don't understand why it is happening to them. But if they would just meditate on how they've been handling their relationship with God, they would say, maybe I opened the door for God, amen, to get my attention through this circumstance. I want you to know, amen, that we serve a God that loves us more than we love ourselves. And Isaiah 43 verse 1 is something very interesting. If you look in the King James rendering, you would find out the first two words says, but now. Can you say that with me, but now? Mm-hmm. Been through a lot. God may be punished me. God may have punished me. I may have gotten sickness. I may have done things wrong. I have lived a life outside of the will of God. But God has said, I love you. But now. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. I told you at the beginning of the year, I'm going to do a new thing. I told you I'm getting ready to transcend you into a place where you've never been before, but you've allowed the devil to distract you. You allowed the devil to make you look at it as a t-shirt slogan. You have allowed the enemy to keep you away from that focus. And now you see yourself sitting on the roadside of life, but God says, listen, because I love you, but now. Oh, you got sicknesses and diseases, and you had diagnosis from the enemy, and the devil has come in every kind of way you can think of. But God is saying, despite what the devil has done, amen, despite of the reason, despite of what's going on, I want you to remember today, but now. Oh, if you would look in your New Testament rendering of the letters that the Apostle Paul have written to the churches, you would discover many times as God uses him to educate us about God's, amen, using, amen, his love for us in the lives of his people, Paul constantly writes over and over and over again, but now. Why is doing that? Why is doing that? Because Paul is saying, even here within our text, is teaching us that God is about to do something dramatic in contrast to what has been and what's about to change. I need you to hear that, because not all of y'all, some of y'all been blessed almost 360 something days this year, but some of y'all been through death, hell, and destruction. God want me to remind you, but now, regardless of what happened before, here comes a change. Oh, I wish you had somebody hear me. I'm getting ready to go somewhere. And ain't time for you to look at somebody. I just need you to, amen, make a declaration over your life and say, my change is coming. Ah, somebody in here has got to get it, the revelation in your spirit, and say, I'm in the place of the but now. You mess with my finances, but now. You don't got something going on trying to destroy me, but now. Yeah, I done made mistakes, but now. I didn't live like God told me to live, but now. Oh, I wish I had a church today. Hallelujah. I doubted God, but now. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands and give God a praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, amen. I don't care what has been, a change is about to come. And God begins to minister to them through the prophet Isaiah, amen. And he says, in that first verse, he says, listen, I'm the Lord that created thee, O Jacob. I formed thee. Don't fear, I redeemed thee. I've called you by name, and I want you to know thou art mine. Something very important within that text. He told him, don't fear. Fear in the scriptures of 366 mentions of fear not, amen, in the Old Testament. Because God wants his people, listen here, as we've been revealed through the Apostle Paul, no, John says, fear bringeth torment. I know how that feels. Worrying about what can happen, what's about to happen. Fear is gripped in your spirit, grieves your heart. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. And that's why the scripture says, but the fearful and the believing can't get in the place with God. That's right. The devil uses fear of things. Have you ever been afraid of something and it didn't even happen? Oh, I hear the rumor. I'm going to lose my job. Oh, I hear the rumor. I'm going to lose this, lose that. Then you get there, they send a note that your name ain't even on the list. Then got depressed, come on here, didn't want to do nothing but go shopping, amen, sat in the dark because you was afraid of what might happen, and it didn't happen, amen, call, come on, say, Lord, have your way now, amen. So the Lord constantly tells us, fear not, amen. But why would they be afraid of God? Why would they be concerned, amen, about being fearful? Number one, they understood through the prophet Isaiah that God was upset with their condition. God was upset with the way they were living. God was upset about how they were performing. And that Israel, because when you step out of the covering of God, you walk into a place of decay and disparity. You come into a spiritual place that's not designed for your life. And so, consequently, amen. God is heavy, his heart was heavy over Israel. And okay, we've been in this situation. What God might do? What's going to happen? Some people will say, well, all the hell I've been through in 23, what going to happen to me in 24? Lord have mercy. World War III going to happen? Bottom going to drop out? Economy going to crash? Internet full of fear. Internet full of what maybe, if it would have, could have, should have. They looked at their situation. They were in exile. But God, because he's God, somebody say, our God is God. Ah, he loves us, saints of the living God, regardless of what we have allowed the enemy to do to you, regardless of what has transpired in our society, I want to remind you that God is concerned about you, not just physically, but also spiritually. I want us to bring your attention to the church in the last day. That God is concerned about us. That's why the enemy attacks us physically. So because when you hit the body, did not he do that with Job? Because Job had a relationship with God. But what was his, amen, divine plan, the satanic plan, the Luciferian agenda was, listen, he can handle everything, but he can't handle hitting his body. And so when we look at this 21st century or this year 2023, the enemy has tactics so many people with diagnosis, so many people with afflictions, so many people with COVID, so many people with flus, so many people seeing the doctor for this and that, amen, lungs inflaming, amen, all kinds of things is dropping out because the devil knows that if your body gets afflicted, you may have the mindset, say, forget God, God doesn't love me, God doesn't care, because if he did, he wouldn't allow me to go through this. The devil is still a liar. Amen. The sentiment Satan doesn't even stop there, but he will attack you spiritually. And spiritually, the church is afflicted physically, and his church is afflicted spiritually. Amen. And they was concerned because of their relationship with life in the past. I want to encourage somebody today as we look at a parallel between Israel in the church today. We have disobeyed God. We have fell away from him. Amen. And a lot of people are letting the devil play with their mind. And I want to encourage you, saints of the living God, don't follow the path of our predecessors. Amen. Follow God in his word. And we find out that God brought them out of the wilderness to Moses. Amen. But what did they do? They complained about what God didn't do in their expectation. We do the same thing in our lifestyle. We know that the Lord has saved us and Christ was crucified. Amen. We understand about salvation, but we're upset because we don't have the money to buy a gift. We're upset because the car didn't come through. We're upset because even though this is a time of season that I need help, got laid off. We get upset because, amen, the world doesn't measure up to our expectation. And when the devil takes advantage of that, what does he do? He, amen, takes advantage, amen, of the individual to doubt God's goodness. And when you doubt God's goodness, you go into idolatry because you feel that God is not enough. God proved himself in the day by a cloud to give them protection through the heat. God proved himself with a fire by night to let them know that he is somebody to help them in a time of darkness. But when they got a chance to get into the place of possession, they, amen, could not trust God in his goodness. They turned into the idolatry. We tend to do the same thing in our lifestyle. God's been good to us more abundantly than we can ask or think. But yet, because he doesn't measure up to our personal expectation, we got issues with the true and living God. Even in the days of Judges and in the Kings, God warned them, don't go there. I love you. Trust me. Trust my ways. Trust the fact that I'm making you unique. Trust the fact that you are chosen. Trust the fact that you are special people. Amen. I'm going to show you how much I love you. I'm going to fight some of your battles. I'm going to be there in your corner. I'm going to make a way out of no way. It may not be the way you want me to do it, but I'm going to prove myself in your life. And so God raised up prophets and judges. He did miracles and wonders, amen, in the life of his people. But they refused to listen. Similar to the church today, amen, I want to encourage you today that we cannot follow that path. Amen, we got to let God have his way. Amen, don't let the devil cheat you. Don't let the devil lie to you. Let's not go into the vein. And I see it so clearly more and more as we did in Old Testament Israel. They told the prophets, shut up. We don't want to hear you. We don't want you to say nothing. Speak to us smooth thing. Don't tell us what God wants. Don't tell us what we should do and should not do. Oh God, I need your help today. When you look at, amen, religion, amen, you would find out that what they tend to do when God has set it up an institution where he is the one should be
worship between heaven and earth. He did it in the tabernacle. He gave them, amen, the Ten Commandments. He gave them leadership. He gave them Moses and the judges and the prophets. But what happened? We find out, what did they do? They begin to, amen, divide the church. Amen. They set up the different idols, and Dan, and forget the other providence. And the king would say, don't do what everybody else is doing. Worship God over here. This is what God is doing over here now. Amen. Not going to Jerusalem. You ain't got to go. I'm going to make it convenient now where you don't have to follow the path, amen, that was set before us. Amen. Another prophet, I think it was, a man of God, he went and got him an idol. He set it up in his house. Praise the living God. And then he went and got, amen, I know the Levites are supposed to be the ones, amen, that worship. Amen. Well, first, I'm going to get my own Urim and Thummim. I'm going to make my own. I'm not going to do what God has. Amen. I'm going to get my own church. Come on here. I'm going to do what I want to do. Y'all ain't saying nothing. I know we need the priest to follow the pattern of God. I'm not going to use a Levite. I get whoever want to get a title, whoever want recognition. You come on in here. I'll let you be a priest over my God. I'll let you be a priest over my church. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. And in this last hour, amen, people are letting anybody lead them. People are letting anybody be their pastor, anybody to be their teacher, anybody to be their prophet. Not what God has set up. Do I have a church here? But I come to tell you, elder, God's going to be the last say. Do I have a witness up in here? Amen. So they told those prophets, stop preaching. Amen. They locked them up because the ones that didn't want to stop preaching, they put them in citrums to keep their mouth shut. The devil's going to fight anybody that want to stand for God. Amen. Some of them even got kiltons cut in half. The devil will kill you if you put a stand for God. Everything against you ain't always because it's the devil doing it. Some of y'all is because you're doing the right thing, and the devil's trying to get you to give up. Some of y'all are going through, you say, I'm not saved, and I don't understand what's going on in my life, why things are dropping out. That's because you're on the precipice of a breakthrough. And the devil said, if I give you more trouble, you won't call on God. Amen. If I give you more trouble, you won't believe in God. But I got news for you today, that when you look in the text, you would find out the Bible tells me that finally the Lord had enough. Saints of the living God, God gets to the place where he has enough. I like what Ezekiel said, enough is enough. Praise the living God. I'm praying that I'm preaching to somebody that yes, this was going on in my life, and I want the devil to know enough is enough. I'm tired of the pain that's unnecessary. I'm tired of all the junk that's affecting me, and I make a stand today to let the devil know enough is enough. I done cried enough tears. I done ran into enough corners. I don't have any more shades to pull down. I got all the lights out in the house, but I'm going to stand in the house of the Lord and let that devil know enough is enough. I complained about going to the hospital, bickered about going to the doctor, looking at the negative and not the positive, but I'm going to lift my hands to heaven and say, devil, enough is enough. Do I have a witness here? I want to encourage you, saints of the living God. Amen. As we go into embark into another year, the Lord delay is coming. We ain't going to be afraid of the future. We ain't going to be afraid of what might happen. We know the election is going to happen 2024 in November. I don't care who they put in the White House. The Bible said that we serve a God in the kingdom, and his realm will never end. And through him, the government is upon his shoulders. I wish I had a church up in here. No matter what might happen militarily, with Iran and Ukraine and whatever, we serve a God, Jehovah Nissi. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. He's called the Lord our banner. I've come to tell you, don't be afraid. They're trying to tell you, get your gold and your silver. Watch and save your pennies, because the economy's going to crash in 2024. And they got folks that's being scared. What's going to happen to me if the dollar loses its value? I got news for everyone that got that fear. pull your dollar out and look at it. And on it, it says, in God we trust. Somebody say yes. The Lord knows us. He knows every need that we have. The responsibility that I have. I got to trust in the true and living God. Can you help me preach for one more minute? And tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't be afraid of your future. Well, I ain't got nobody next to me. So make a declaration and say, I ain't going to be afraid of my future. Somebody say, yes, Lord. They was in captivity for 70 years. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And because of that, they got into a mentality in their relationship with God. When you're going through stuff in your life, you got to be careful how you handle it. You got to be careful what you're thinking in your mind, because trial will take you away from your faith. Do I have a witness here? That's what happened with Job's friend. If God was in your life, boy, you would not be in this sickness. But amen, Job sat there. Amen. He knew the Lord gave him everything that he was blessed with. He said, the Lord giveth, but the Lord will take it away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You got to trust God regardless of your circumstances, regardless of how much money in the bank, regardless if your car is working or not. I got a hoopty truck I love much, but she dying every day. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. I ain't got the money to buy another one. And every time I turn around, something else is going wrong with the truck. I say, Lord, I ain't got no money to buy one. I'm living by faith. The other day I laid hands on the truck. I said, I know she's starting to smoke. She got her engine light on. I come to find out the catalytic converter is going bad. I say, well, that's just like my body. My engine light is on, and this body seems like it's going bad. But the same God that keep me is the same God that keep my car. And when God say it's over, I know he has a way out of no way. I preach in old school church. Keep your theology. Keep your order of the day. I want God. Can I have 10 folks give him a 60-second praise in this house? So what were they afraid of? Amen. He said, fear not. Why would they be afraid? They'll be afraid because of their future. Amen. They knew where they were. 70 years in captivity. So listen to this. Would God keep his promise? Would God really bring us out? 70 years is a long time. They knew they deserved God's anger. Because they did not live up to his standards. They knew they deserved God's punishment. Because they knew, amen, what they was doing. They knew they wasn't faithful to God's word. But they knew they deserved to get whatever God says. The Bible says, whatsoever man, so shall he reap. You can say what you want and quote all the scriptures. Dip my head in oil. But I done did so many things in this body. Yeah, I forget stuff. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Yeah, my memory goes. Yeah, I deal with stuff in this body. Because whatever a man soweth, he gotta also reap. So I'm doing what the prophets say. And Jeremiah said, listen here. His mercy renewed every day. And his compassion fails not. I'm having church by myself. Somebody say, yes, Lord. They question God's motives. Don't you know that when we go through hell, let's be honest, is God with me or not? I've been like that as a pastor. I've been like that as a father. I've been like that as a husband. Is God in this thing or not? Y'all ain't saying nothing nothing here. Some of us be in so much sin. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. In my 40 years of being saved, I stepped out of the realm of God. I said, I ain't going to pray. I don't want to go to church. I don't even know if God will forgive me. When I woke up in the morning, I said, oh, he didn't kill me in my sleep. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Oh, Lord. Then I went to the church. I didn't know if I'm going to feel God or not. I was so away from God and so much disobedience. I said, I ain't going to feel God. But right in that service, the anointing of the Lord. Oh, God. Everybody crying. Oh, God. Ain't because it's the Holy Ghost taking them to another level. Some people are crying because they feel sorry that they got themselves in the place. Can I have 1 minute of praise? Will God really forgive me for that? Would God really have mercy on me? And I did that. And I fought that. And I said that. And I stole that. Would God really forgive me? Hey, I'm on Sita Motion. Somebody just say, yes, he will. I'm going to prove it to you in a minute. See, you got to be careful of the tactics of the enemy. If you meditate on all of your mistakes, all of your failures. I'm my worst critic. I judge myself too much to the point now, Lord is saying, start repenting. Yes. He said, you must repent because you don't step out of my realm into self-pity. That's for the mature church. The tactics of the enemy. Yes. The tactics of the enemy. Got to be careful how you let the enemy speak to your mind. Many in the church are stuck in at ease in Zion. Because of their relationship with God in negativity. So much so, they did not trust the revelation of God. I was dealing with pastors, pouring out my heart. I ain't want to bother you, man, because I said, you're already fighting a good fight. Why cry on your pillow? So I ain't call you. I call other pastors. I said, this is what gets me. We got this holy writ. And we pick and choose what we're going to live up to and what we ain't. I'm a very simplistic person. So much so that my zeal and my simplicity gets me in trouble. If God say love, he ain't say just love my wife and love my son in the spirit. I got to love everybody. If it is possible.
That's right.
And when I can't, I got to let God do it through me. Got to say, Lord, you have to do it because unforgiveness. Oh, I can forgive him because me and him tight. But I can't forgive him because he disappointed me. I can't forgive her because I'm mad at her. She ain't called me when I was sick. But I'm going to forgive her. Because she said, are you okay, Pastor? But I'm going to hold it against her. That's how we handle the Bible.
That's what we do.
That's not God. It's not God how we pick and choose the word of God to facilitate our own desires and demands. Come on, saints. This is why people are confused. The church is full of schizophrenia. Judge ye not. I'm going to judge that pastor across the town. And what brought this out was Carlton Pearson. Half of the church at large, while he was still alive,
right.
He a heretic. He going to hell with gasoline drawers on. Cursed and condemned the man.
Yes, they did.
Over something between him and his God.
Yeah.
They had nothing to do with you.
Come on.
Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Oh, you're up there now. Go ahead.
Teach, Bishop.
Come on now. He said he don't believe it.
That's right.
He didn't say this is the mandate for the church. You better listen to the tapes, y'all. Did he ever say this is the mandate or the credence for the church? He did never say that. He said, I don't think. That's between you and your God then. And one said, oh, he was a great man of God. He done messed up. Pray the Lord save him. But by the grace of God, there go I.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Then, this is where I'm going.
Go ahead, Bishop.
When he dies, all them same people, oh, he was a great man of God over Azusa. I'll tell you, he was something. He was such a wise man. Yeah, hypocrite.
Come on.
Stop, Dennis. Get out your... Slow down, son.
That's passion,
church
that's
is full of hypocrites.
That's your passion,
do as I say, not as I do. Good for me, bad for you.
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Calm down. I may have to do some praise music right there or something. No. Do y'all get my point?
Yes.
We're talking about the truth. The church is supposed to be called the pillar of the truth. And Paul says, listen here, the problem is that we bite and devour one another.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to stop right there before I lose my thought. Let the church say amen. Let the church say
amen.
Let the church say
amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm preaching anyway. Yeah. No, just done. So, the problem is, this is where I'm going. We cannot allow the enemy to trick our theology, our walk with God, our relationship with God. Hear me. As individuals, because we will allow the enemy to get us to doubt the revelation of God in his word. You got to be careful. Yes, the Lord was angry. Yes, the Lord was disappointment. Yes, but the Bible says, but now. Good God Almighty. Oh, I can preach right after this. I want you to know, saints of the living God, God was telling them through the prophet Isaiah, I will still save him. I will still protect him. And I still love him. The church looks crazy. But God's saying, I'm going to still save my church because the gates of hell will not prevail against the mainstream church. And no matter what the world say, I'm going to protect them because I love them. Let me bring this to a conclusion here. And so we see that in the scripture, our first verse, he says, listen here, O Jacob, that formed thee, I created thee. Don't be afraid. I redeemed thee. I called thee, and I called you by your name. God is saying, listen here, I called you and I formed you. I redeemed you. I took you out of the world. Many of us who are saved, that's what it means by being delivered, saved, rescued, because we was in the realm of darkness and the bondage of Satan, and God took us out of that situation and brought us into his marvelous light. If you call yourself saved and you have not been delivered out of anything, you just got a confession and not a possession. You don't know if it's yourself or are you saved. But if you really saved, God will take the street out of you. God will, amen, take you from dealing with certain people. He'll work on you and begin to regenerate you to be conformed into the image of his son. You, amen, have God working in your life 24/7. Do I have a witness? Why? Because when God called you, he has the power to keep you. Do I have a witness here? Amen. Yes, God will judge us and punish us. Amen. Some anointings we lose because some of us went so far away from the purpose of God. God is saying, I can't put that back on you because you don't went too far. But I still love you. I love you right where you are. Don't you know I gave you Samson? He was devilly anointed. He was a judge of all Israel, had the anointing to break through. But when he overstepped and his eyes got blind, he couldn't do like he used to, but I did use him for his creative purpose. Somebody in here say, Lord, I thank you, for you have not forsaken me. You're still with me. Come on here. God was letting them know, listen here, I made y'all my people, Israel, church of the living God. God made you. God called you, and he's calling you by your name. We belong to him. Come on here. We were not a people, but now we are a people of the living God. He says, listen here, I created you. I was trying to share that on Wednesday. God created us, y'all. Amen. We didn't come out of a babiba. We didn't come, amen, out of a lake. Amen. As I forget what the concept is. Amen. As a insect. Amen. Crawled the shore, begin to walk like a monkey, and now becoming who we are. Come on here. I'm not an insect. Amen. I'm not a monkey. I am created in the true and living God. I want you to know we are not to act like animals. You're created in God. Some of us act like animals because we don't know who we are. Come on here. God didn't create you to do some of the things you're doing. The Bible teaches us in his revelation that God created us. The Hebrew word bara. What does that mean? God says, I create, I form, I shape, I passion, I fashion. He's the potter, we're the clay. Come on, somebody. When you look at God's creation, he called in the book of Genesis. He called everything to come forth. He spoke it and it came to pass. But when it came to you, when it came to me, God did something unique. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God took the dirt of the ground. He mixed it with a little water and shaped it in his image. My God, my God. And then God didn't leave me laying there in the bottom of the world, in the bottom or in the dirt, laying there in humility, laying there lower of the low. But God says, I got something for you. I got something that's going to make you unique. I got something that's going to make the angels jealous over you, because I'm going to make you so great. They're going to say, what are my man? Oh, come on here, that thou visited him. We are fashioned. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God says, why? Why is that, God? Because when that man was laying on the ground, I put breath in his nostrils, and man became a living soul. That mud man has something unique that the rest of the world didn't have, and that is the Spirit of God. I come to tell you, I don't care what you're drinking, what you're smoking, I don't care what you're laying up with, who you cut last night in the club, I want you to know that God made you in his image. You may be acting dirty, and you may be dirty in your life, but God said, I put my breath in you, and now you are a unique individual. I just want you to come on over on the Lord's side. Somebody say, yes, Lord. But we can't just celebrate on that, because God made me. That makes me accountable. That makes me responsible. This the part the church don't like. We want to do us. God gave us choice, and we took those choices to do us. But God says, I gave you that choice so we can have a love relationship. Don't love me just one-sided. I was sharing with somebody the other day, that's because I love you, and you just want me to love you, and you just want me to love you. I told somebody the other day, if that was me and my wife, I'm out of here, because I ain't going to sit in no one-sided relationship. But I'm always giving her what she wants, buying her clothes, taking her places, giving her dinner, doing what to make her happy. And when I'm looking for a hug, she too busy. When I want attention, she ain't got time. Y'all ain't saying nothing. On the phone talking to Sally and Eric. But when I want you to sit down and talk, you don't want to talk. I'm sorry. I can't stay there too long. Honey, mommy, bye-bye, baby, bye-bye. I like what Tyler Perry said. I can do bad all by myself. Somebody say yes, Lord. Real relationship is twofold. Do I have a witness? Somebody say yes. Love me as I love you. God said that's how it is being saved. Love me as I love you. I prove my love on the cross. I prove my love for you. I redeemed you. Went to hell for you. I'm patient with you. I'm there for you. Even though you curse me. Even though you turn your back on me. I never left you. I may be there in the distance. But I'm still with you. Just love me back. Behold, I stand at your door, your heart. I'm knocking on the door. Just let me in. Let me come in that relationship. Somebody say yes, Lord. Clap your hands and say yes, Lord. We are accountable. We are responsible. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. If he is creator, he's also judge. Do I have a witness? Can somebody help me preach and say, God made me. Despite what my mama said about me, God made me. Despite what they say about my ethnicity, God made me. Despite of the name of my past, God made me. Y'all ain't saying up in here. Make the declaration over your life. There's greater in he that is in you than he that is in the world. God breathed in you the breath of life. He said you're formed, you're shaped. He's the potter, you're the clay. He formed you, he shaped you. I hate some of the things I've been through, but now that I'm over here on the Lord's side, I see God was in it. Thank you be to God. He's the master maker. Don't regret how you came in. I know you've been adopted. Broken family. Split marriage. But God says, you in the church, you in the house, are called the ugly duckling. But God says, you're the apple of my eye. You are the praise God for his love for you. Am I going too much? No, I'm good. Come on, saints of the living God. He formed you. Amen. He took that natural and made it supernatural. And no matter how low the world will make you feel, God says you got my breath in you. Oh, come on. Can you just love God for his goodness? Can you just say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for your love. So we can't be afraid to go forward with God. Amen. Despite of the pending tragedies or things that we may have experienced, we cannot be afraid to go forward in God. We got to be mindful that he redeemed us. I've been bought with a price. He redeemed us. I was in captivity of the enemy. The enemy owned me. He owned my life because I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and I gave my life to him. Amen. Let him be ruler over who I am. But God, because he loves me, knew that he wanted to get me back. And he did it through the love of Jesus Christ. And so for a legal, amen, connection, God gave himself a ransom. He said, I want Dennis back. I know there's a great price to get that man back. I know, amen, he doesn't deserve it, but I'll give my life for him in a place of his destruction. I'll take that destruction in the place of his pain. I'll take the pain. I will be the atonement because God is a just God, and without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Old Testament was blood sacrifice. Jesus came and he bled. Then he died that I can be redeemed. He became my substitute. Thank be unto God because I couldn't have done it. That's why I got high. That's why I drank. That's why I ran the streets because I couldn't have handled it myself. But God held me back. He kept me out of jail in the prison. God kept me from going out out of my mind, because God says, I'm your substitute in Christ Jesus. I'm your deliverance. Got to trust what I've gave you. You redeemed. I redeemed you. I brought you out. Come on, saints. Y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying, because you don't see it. You don't see yourself as a prisoner. You don't see yourself as a product in Satan's pawn shop, there with all the other rejections, waiting for somebody to buy you. My God, my God. But the Bible said, oh Lord, that without the, without, not where I'm bought, not with amen, gold and silver. God says, you are so valuable to me, I'm going to shed my blood for you. So when I bring you over, you're over without any guilt. You over without any debt. My God, my God, I bought you. Somebody say it in your spirit. I'm bought with a price. I'm not my own. I'm redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. My God, my God. Therefore, I can look to the blessed hope of my glorious appearance of my Savior, who gave himself as a ransom for me. Oh, do I have a church today? Forget your neighbor. Just say over your own life, he didn't have to do it, but he did. I know you think you're wonderful, but one day you're going to see how wonderful you are. But right now, I humble myself, because I know I came out of the dirt, and whatever I am, because God breathed himself in me. My problem is, why do I wrestle more in the dirt than walk in your spirit? I need your help, God. God said, I already gave it to you. He's called the Holy Ghost. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. And if you get the Holy Ghost, through him you live, move, and have your being. So I tell you what, Lord, help me to walk in the Holy Ghost. Help me not to try to do it. Help me to live to who it. In the name of Jesus, live through me so I can have the victory. I need you to give me a flashback. I need you to go back in time. I need you to go back in the future. I need you to go back to my childhood when I'm playing in that sandbox all by myself. Don't know why ain't nobody with me. I need you to go to third grade class when I was scared to go to the bathroom because I couldn't handle the attention. I need you to go with me to fifth grade when I didn't think nobody cared, but my teacher showed a little promise. I need you to go with me to high school when I walked out and dropped out because I looked at myself. I need you to look back in my house. I got eight brothers, but I was by myself. I was walking alone. I ain't had no friends. I bought my friends. I need you to go back there, God, when I had the relationship with my father and wonder why he couldn't tell me he loved me. I need you to take me back to the steps when we was both standing there in that Saturday afternoon, and I looked at my daddy and I said, Daddy, I love you. He just stood there and looked, and I went back there and hugged him, and he couldn't hug me back. I need you to go back there to give me healing from that hurt. I need you to go back when I got in the house. Daddy was a rolling stone, and wherever he laid his hat, he was at home. I need you to go back to that day when I saw my mother hiding behind the door, almost naked, waiting for my daddy to come, and she was crying because he didn't want nothing to do with her. But I was looking at the pain. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. Don't know how to handle it. I need you to heal me from all those scars. And if you heal me from those scars, I could be what you call me to be. And I come to tell you, by your strength, by your strength, I just want five folk to find five people and say, you don't know like I know. You looking at me, you judging me, but you don't know like I know. lost. And the Lord says, I'm done. He said, and I called you. Watch this, by your name. My God, they called me ignorant. They called me ugly. They laughed at me. Y'all ain't saying nothing here. But God said, if you only knew, I called you by your name. I called you by your name. Y'all got the record on Spotify. Why is that essential? That is saying, I'm that close to you. I'm that intimate with you.
Yes, sir.
I'm not calling you them or they. I'm calling you Rita.
By your name.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
I said, one of the women.
Right.
I'm calling you by your first, Rita.
Right. Yes.
I'm here today because when I was in the cave, wrapped in grave clothes. In a dark, cold place. God called my name.
Hey, glory to God. Yes, sir.
After he rolled away the stone.
Lord, I thank you.
And where I was. Was no more. All he needed me to do is to be in church. So somebody can help me be loosed and let go. I don't know why y'all can't handle. Stop it, Dennis. Stop it. Don't go there. Somebody say, he called me by name. He chose you. He wants you. He loves you. He accepted you. And he didn't stop there. Excuse me. He said, you mine. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine.
Yeah, Isaiah
43:2. He's mine. You're mine. Now I see why he say, don't be afraid of the faces, because we prefer that the Lord not to deal with us on a personal level. We really don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. If I'm a divorcee and they talk about divorce, it's uncomfortable. If I got 5 kids out of wedlock and no husband, it's uncomfortable if they start talking about that. It's uncomfortable when they talk about virginity, and I'm no longer a virgin. That's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable to talk about broken families, and I just left home. I don't want to hear that. I didn't come here for that. But see, that's the institution of the church. That's made it so conducive to please people. And God says, I want your heart, not your situation. If I get your heart, I'll change your situation. I got to say that again. If I get your heart, I'll save your situation. I'll change your situation.
Come on.
As a pastor, I'm almost done. Well, I got one more minute. No, it's all good. Someone's preaching in a very positive, up, you know, non-condemning, non-dealing with the issues.
Come on, sir.
Praise him. Amen, amen. Somebody preach like I'm preaching today. That's why we messed up.
Come on, sir.
That's why we messed up. Just like I was saying about being a hypocrite in the church. I was supposed to be a first partaker of this gospel. I have preachers say, oh, you need to get him because he can preach. I don't care if you was like Jakes or all of them. You don't impress me. Because if your character
does it mess up to the message you preach? You don't mean nothing to me.
Message.
It ain't about the preaching. Say amen. Yeah, something soft. I'm done. I don't took y'all low. Isaiah 43:2.
When thou passest through the waters.
But then he tells them, listen, when you pass through the water.
Mm-hmm. I will be with thee.
I'm going to tell you because I love you. Somebody say, but now.
But now.
But when you get to that water that's trying to swallow you and take you down, I'm going to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
The floods of life. I'm going to be with you. He didn't say you're not going to go through the water. That's another thing. I was had an invitation to teach in another school. And the subject, they said, you want to teach about pastoralship or you want to preach about religion? And it was the two issues that they wanted to have. And I thought about it. I said, I want to preach about pastoring. I'd rather preach about religion. Nobody came to my class because we don't care. We don't care. We don't care about religion. But the pastoring church had a few people who signed up because I'm interested. Everybody want to be a pastor, right? I could have did real good because I would have taught from my failures, not from my successes. In golf, you don't practice your 100-yard shot, and you got a terrible short game. Stay there and play your whole short game and make yourself feel good. Just hit one or two long balls and then go home. It's the same thing with life. Work on who you really are, not who you're faking to be. This is who I am.
Come on, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Help me. We can pray for you all day, but unless you apply.
That's right.
You can't help it. Me and you was praying for a long time. I got good news for you, son. Signs, wonders, and miracles. He gave me a word when I was down. Next year, maybe before the year is out, we're going to start seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. But remember at the beginning of the year, I shared with you, Mark, about the preaching and in the preaching, what connected with the preaching. I think it was at January, February of this year. He brought me back full circle. Can I have 1 minute for me?
Go ahead.
Keep your finger there. Go to Matthew 10. Go to Matthew 10. What did he say right there?
Matthew 10:1.
Yeah, what did he say right there?
And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples,
he
gave them power against unclean spirits.
He did what?
He gave them power against unclean spirits. He called him
the disciples.
Yes.
Disciples means student. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
He did what? He gave them.
He gave them power.
To the who? The students.
To the students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To do what?
To against unclean spirits.
He gave the student power against what's unclean.
Mm-hmm.
God's concerned about your life, man. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, Shelley. Cast out devils, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He says that to us. But how many demons we see cast out in service? How many miracles we see? We don't see them that much, right? Got a couple of reasons why. I'm not going to go in it because I know you're ready to go home. Read.
And to cast them out.
And to cast them out. Read, sir.
And to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease.
And he had the power to do what?
Heal all manner of sickness.
On the first prayer room, we cast the devil out right over there by them chairs.
Yes, we did, sir.
But we didn't go out. Josephine, let me get that mic. Let me tell what God just got finished doing, girl. Come on, let me get that mic. Child, y'all don't know. We just cast the devil out right over there. Praise the little God. Merchandising the anointing. It was quiet. She didn't even know. Nobody knew. Me and Terry.
That's right.
And someone else was chariot with us. I remember. Mark. Yeah. But that's supposed to be normal. You are not supposed to leave here sick.
That's right.
You're not supposed to leave here sick. You're not supposed to leave here. He's concerned about you, sweetheart. Cast the devils out. Heal the sick in all manner.
All manner.
But pastor, you are male. I can't tell you about my female problems. I don't want to know, but Jesus knows. You a man, and I'm ashamed to say I got a prostate problem. That's okay. Jesus knows. Read.
Now the names of the 12.
Okay, you don't have to go there. Matthew 16, 15, real quick. I'm done. I just want somebody here.
Matthew
that
6. Matthew.
Least I shall follow them. No, Mark.
Oh, Mark.
Somebody here that wants... Don't have to leave bound by sin. You don't have to leave here bound by the devil. You don't have to leave here discouraged.
Mark 16 and 17.
How many times you've been to the service trusting him for a change, and the change never came? You are who I'm talking to. How many times you came for prayer, for sickness, and you never got healed? Some instances, he did not heal everyone. The pool at Bethesda, he didn't get healed at that moment.
That's right.
But the scripture says in John, all the miracles was written. It's not enough books.
It's not in the books.
It could be that the other ones got healed at a later time.
That's right.
Let's stop putting God in the box. Don't get tired. Think about your sickness. Think about your situation. Think about your fear. I'm afraid to really be saved. Did you get it, son?
Yes, sir. Mark 16:17.
What he said?
And these signs shall follow them that believe.
We got any believers in here? Everybody that's a believer, just wave your hand. Say, you know, who made that song? Yes, I'm a believer.
Yeah.
Read.
In my name shall they cast out devils.
In my name shall be cast out devil.
Mm-hmm.
She had a bout with cancer. The devil let her know at the beginning of that bout, you can chalk it up, sweetheart. You ain't got too much lot of time to live. Say, oh no, we gonna believe that. The devil's a liar. She ain't finished yet. Kept praying. Every time she went to the doctor, pow, 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 pow. Luke the physician shows up, still here. Huh? Still here. Not until God says it's over. Say amen. And if he can't get you physically, he'll try to get you emotionally.
Right.
You can worry yourself into sickness.
Yes, yes.
Huh? Mm-hmm. You can worry so bad, you get your cancer, high blood, sugar. You can't let the devil trick you. That's why you got to have a praise. One more. I'm almost done. Yeah, you can continue.
Okay.
Yes.
They shall speak with new tongues.
They will speak with a new tongue. Change your language.
Mm-hmm. They shall take up serpents.
Take up serpents. Everyone standing.
And if they drink any deadly thing.
If you can.
Shall not hurt them.
Not hurt. When I was in tabernacle, apostle would come. And he would sit on that box. And he just ran and talk. I said, I wish that man just shut up. I'm ready to go home. Especially on Sunday night after we done waited and came back and we waiting for God. Now I know why he do it. Because listen, as a father,
yes, sir.
he would share his heart. I was too young to know that. But now that I'm a pastor, I find myself doing the same thing. Please bear with me because I love you. Mm-hmm. If you're sick today, just come and let me pray with you for the manifestation of the word. If you got an ailment today, I need sanitizer for my hand. Let me pray with you. Pray with you. I'm so glad we got so many healed people in the house. Those of you that are healed, give God a praise. So many healed people. So many healed. So many healed. I'm not going to tell you what to do, sweetheart. But you got them pills in there, and you ain't coming up for healing. So why you got the pills in there then? Them pills are showing you that you ain't healed. But you're going to sit there with all them pills you got in that box. Come on now. Ain't going to kill you to get no prayer. If you can't stand, you can sit right here in this seat, sweetheart. That's right. That's right. Don't let the devil, don't let him lie to you. You love your church and you love God. And guess what? God loves you. You can sit right there, sweetheart. I'm sorry. We not playing no games. I need those, your ministers, to know the prayer of faith and have approval by me. Be ready to pray. Be ready to pray. Hallelujah. Your heart is so open. Your heart is so open, but you've been through so much. You have been through so much. And you was listening to what I say. You let your mind rest. And I'm going to ask God not just to heal your body, but to heal your hurt. And you want to know what else I sense from you? Tired. It's tired. Time you turn around, tired. The Lord wants me to remind you that his yoke is easy. And guess what? He sent you here today just for this. He sent you here just for this. His yoke is easy. He gonna make it easy for God. You shall live and not die. I'm gonna be a pastor. You might stay, you may leave. I'm gonna be a pastor. Stop being stubborn with the word of God. Stop it. You're so stubborn. Talks to you, God ministers to you, but you won't do what I'm asking to do. And you ain't doing all that for God, you're doing that for people. Stop being so stubborn. All right? If you don't know nothing, sweetheart, I love you. You hear me? I want regular. You don't know this because I'm not a bragger. I don't try to make myself look like a wonder. But when you came here, I asked God for a breakthrough for that cornbread house. And since you've been here, you started seeing breakthrough. Little by little. You don't know when I sit out and pray. You don't know what your pastor does. Because I ain't a breaker, bragger. Hey, I'm going to see to y'all. But guess what? 2024, they are not going to recognize this new woman. God is saying the first part of this year, take a couple of days. When you go, you take people with you. Family, friends. God is telling me to tell you, take a couple of days with a hotel room or whatever, and you just sit there with your Bible. And some prayer oil. And let God talk to you. And this year, I hear the Lord say increase. I hear the Lord say miracles. I hear the Lord say, that thing you praying about, he's going to give you the answer in those days. We getting ready to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, touch this body in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the miracles that you have already done. Thank you for the next miracle. 2024 breakthrough in the name of Jesus. The gifts and callings be released in your life. The visions that God has given you, we ask you to loose. Yes, and it is so. And it is so. And it is so. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. Tell them thank you. By his stripes, I'm healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 I need you to stand for me, Mother. Be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 Cheryl, put your hands on her hips, on her right side. We come against that arthritis. We able shandabasa in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of soul. In the name of Jesus. Be healed, woman of God. In the name of Jesus. By your stripes, you shall be healed. So now I need the church to give God praise. I need you to praise him. Tell the Lord, thank you. We out of here. Give him glory. 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 He'll heal the broken hearts. Give him glory, glory, glory. Be healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Heal. Heal from family hurt. Hey, Alamasi.